What's up? Welcome to NExpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. I am one of the hosts, the favorite host, Mr. Commenter from a couple weeks ago. I haven't forgotten you. I'm Tim Mason. Here with me, I've got Patrick Murphy.
That's okay, Tim. We all know you're the favorite host.
I highly doubt it, but Ricky D's also here.
What's up, Tim? What's up, Patrick?
You know what it is, Patrick, is I just got on that guy's nerves. One too many, I don't know, Pokemon references or something.
But then he may not want to listen to this show.
Yeah, I mean,
what are you talking about?
Because Pokemon, of course, has an enormous expansion coming. And we're going to talk a little bit about that because you guys have your game and I have my game. And both of them have DLCs coming. That's pretty cool. And I'm, of course, talking about Three Houses with that. We also have Smash Bros., the final character from the Fighter Pass got announced, so we want to talk a little bit about that. But the rest of the show, we want to talk about some really, really fun stuff. We're going to start with a wild prompt that Rick gave us, and that was to create Nintendo's Mount Rushmore. We're going to pick the four Nintendo characters that deserve to have their faces permanently carved into stone. I like this better than the American presidents. It's a good idea. It's a better representation of where we are as a culture. I'm kind of kidding, but maybe not. And then we're also going to have a discussion of GameStop because, Rick, you had an article that you were about to write and Polygon beat you to the punch. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I've actually talked about it before in our show, but I think it was about a year ago and I never got around to writing the article, which I now regret, but yes.
So we'll save that for our main event. Why don't we start with this Mount Rushmore thing, though? Because I think it's really, really interesting. And I don't know if we're going to come to consensus. So the prompt is simple. Four faces on our Mount Rushmore. We've got to come up with a better name for that. But who are they going to be? Who best represents Nintendo? I think number one, we can just rule out. Mario's on there. Hands down. I think we can also get number two. Link is on there. No questions asked.
Here's the thing. Yes, Mario, Link, and I would also argue Samus, Aran. But the thing is, that's why this talk spot might be a little boring for our listeners. But the thing is, I think the fourth entry we can argue over. But also, when it comes to Mario, like, which Mario? The original Mario? The Super Mario? 2D Mario? 3D Mario? Does it not really matter?
But it's a mountainside. It's got to be in 3D.
Yeah.
I think that what the general face of Mario is now considered to be. I think that's your go-to. And with all of them, like, obviously with Link, there's Toon Link and there's little kid Link and adult Link. But I think just the general Link that people sort of think of when they think of Link will suffice.
But which Link? Because, like, if you go with, say, the Link you would see in a game like Twilight Princess, it could resemble the elf from Lord of the Rings. If you chose 2D Link, at least it looks like Link from the video game.
I think this one would have to either be Ocarina of Time Link, but I don't think that's quite the right choice. I think the most represented Link is Twilight Princess.
I agree with you, Tim. I don't know why. It's just I have absolutely no reason for it, but when I think of Link, I think of Twilight Princess Link.
I think that's like what Nintendo landed on, too. Sometimes you see Breath of the Wild Link, but a lot of the times, if you're just looking at like a gift card or something to the eShop, it's still Twilight Princess Link.
That's their Smash Link, essentially, too.
Yeah, that is Smash Link still as well. So I think that's what we would expect Link to look like. Maybe because it's like a fully adult Link and they like that? I don't know.
Mount Rushmore isn't in color, so it wouldn't really matter, for example, with Mario, if we went with the original Mario from the arcade game, Mario Brothers, or Super Mario versus Mario from Super Mario Odyssey, because his costume is a slightly different in all of the games. Usually. Not always, but sometimes.
Well, it's just the head, remember, from Mount Rushmore. So his costume doesn't matter as much as the face does. So it's like, what face do you think of? Do you think of Super Mario 2's box cover or, you know, Super Mario's box cover? Obviously, a 2D face isn't going to quite work. But there are different 3D Mario faces, and, you know, he's evolved over time, obviously.
I feel like he's pretty static now.
Yeah, for the most part, he's pretty static now, but he's evolved a little bit. But this is, if this is kind of a Mount Rushmore, well, I mean, I don't know. You could go with, like, I do sometimes think of the Super Mario 3 box cover or the Mario 2 box cover as sort of a generic Mario. But I also think the current version that they use, the model that they currently use, is also pretty generic Mario 2.
So we all agree clearly Super Mario and Link have to be on the mountain. Yeah. But do we all agree that Samus Aran would be pick number 3?
I don't know that she would.
What?
I'm not saying
she'd be on my mountain. Yeah. But is she treated by Nintendo as one?
Not on Nintendo. That's what I was going to say.
That's the big question.
But here's the problem, right? So, like, if you look at Nintendo's big sellers, like, you're looking at Mario Kart, which again is Mario Kart, although it does have all the characters. You look at the Super Mario series, you look at the Legend of Zelda series, you look at Animal Crossing, but who are you going to choose? Are you really going to choose the villager, like, over Samus Aran? And then there's, like, the F-Zero franchise.
Oh, God, no. Nobody from F-Zero now.
Right, and there's Star Fox, and there's Kirby. We could argue Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could argue Fire Emblem, except not really, because every Fire Emblem entry has a completely different cast of characters. Like, yeah, sure, some characters do repeat in like sequels and whatnot, like Ike, for example. But, I mean, usually every Fire Emblem game has a new cast of characters. So who else is left? Like, Luigi? Luigi could be an argument for spot number 4 because he does have his own games. Like, he stars in the Luigi's Mansion series, for example. And he has appeared in other games as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could be helpful to take the actual Mount Rushmore and see what characters most closely identify with the real people on that. Now, Rick, you're Canadian, so you're not probably as versed in American history and, you know, as Tim and I are. But if you were going to compare anybody to George Washington, that would be Mario, right, Tim? That would be the Mario. He's like kind of the main founding character.
He is the foundational character of Nintendo, yes.
Yeah. So, and if you're going to closely associate Link with one of the heads, who would it be? And Rick, do you know who all the heads are on Mount Rushmore?
Well, there's George Washington.
Of course.
Lincoln.
He is there.
George Bush.
Nope. So Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence and was the third president, and then Teddy Roosevelt, which obviously our fourth choice is probably going to be associated most closely with Teddy Roosevelt because he's kind of an outlier on there.
Link does have the Jefferson part going on.
Kind of the stoic Jefferson thing.
Yeah, so I feel like that fits as spot number 2. If we're going for, like, visual representation, I feel like Luigi would be Lincoln on the end, but I don't know if that's how we should play this. I don't know.
Well, if we go for visual representation, then Samus Aran's completely knocked out. Like, we can't do that. I honestly think that Samus should be on the list.
You think so over Donkey Kong?
Well, Donkey Kong could be a fourth. Now, remember, we still have that fourth one to argue over.
Right, so I was going to bring up Donkey Kong, and I was going to say, actually, Donkey Kong should be the number one pick over Mario.
Yeah, Mario is the solid. Like, Mario, Washington was the first president of the United States. Donkey Kong didn't make Nintendo, Mario did. Donkey Kong was very popular, obviously, but Mario made Nintendo into what they are today.
Mario put Nintendo on the map and made it sort of like a household name with the Super Mario game on the Nintendo Entertainment System. But Donkey Kong came first. It was a huge success in the arcades, and it starred Mario. So without Donkey Kong, you would never get Mario. So for me, Donkey Kong would be George Washington, and Mario would be, I don't know, one of those presidents.
Oh, now, Tim, he's kind of got a point. So if you think about it, Washington, of course, sort of established. He was there to establish the country. Jefferson was there, too, obviously. But, Washington was sort of he won the war. And he established America as a country, right? So I would give Donkey Kong that as establishing Nintendo as being in the video game business. And then Jefferson kind of made America more what it is today. Because with the Louisiana Purchase, he expanded the country greatly, and he inspired the American values with the Declaration of Independence, and kind of set it on the path that it would become as expanding westward and taking over, pretty much the, you know.
But who's the protagonist? Who's the protagonist in Donkey Kong?
Well, it's Mario, but it was Jumpman, really. It wasn't Mario.
But according to Mario lore, Odyssey has confirmed that Jumpman is Mario.
No, we know that, but regardless, like, Donkey Kong is a hero now, so it's not like Donkey Kong is a good guy now, but he was kind of the first pillar, and just like Washington was the first. I would give Mario Jefferson.
See, I feel like when you think about the true pillars of Nintendo, though, Mario is the pillar. Donkey Kong, less so.
I disagree. First of all, I don't want to repeat myself, but Donkey Kong came first. The arcade game was a success, a huge hit. And Donkey Kong Country pretty much saved the Super Nintendo. And he's been in more games. He starred in more games than, say, Luigi or Samus maybe not Kirby. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of reasons to vote for Donkey Kong.
I don't think they bank Kirby. I think there's great reasons to vote for Donkey Kong on the Mount Rushmore. Absolutely. Because I think he is what catapulted Nintendo's video game path.
He's the one that
established them as a video game company. Mario then launched them into the stratosphere as a video game company. Like, he really, but Donkey Kong was the one that first got them into the medium.
See, I was just going to say, in terms of like visual appeal of our Mount Rushmore, I still think that as the true founding father and not the antagonist of his title game, I feel like Mario should be spot number one. I feel like he looks more the part. It would be more pleasing. I think Donkey Kong needs to be in that third slot because I think when you think of Teddy Roosevelt, I mean, the guy was wild. I feel like Donkey Kong is the perfect fit for that spot just by comparison between the two characters. Teddy Roosevelt and Donkey Kong.
He is in some ways, but I think of Samus as being the Teddy Roosevelt because Roosevelt was kind of a take no prisoners, no BS kind of guy. And he was kind of calculating and cold. He was wild in a way, Tim, because he was, you know, an outdoors guy and the Rough Riders, of course. But he also was very shrewd. And I feel like that sort of calculating mentality belongs more to Samus. And she also is sort of out there on her own. And you think of Teddy Roosevelt as being sort of a loner. He's the trust buster. You know, he is kind of out there taking on the entire world by himself. And Samus is sort of similar along those lines.
Well, the thing about Samus, and I don't mean to like naysay on Samus, but in terms of the most profitable franchises in Nintendo history, it's nowhere on there.
No, but here's the thing. So, okay, first of all, we all agree Link, Mario. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Tim agrees with Donkey Kong yet.
Oh, no, I'm totally on board. Donkey Kong is one of the most profitable Nintendo franchises.
So for you, it's just a question about order, which is fine. I'm okay with putting him at the third spot. And to be honest, like, Donkey Kong really took off during the Super NES days. So
that's kind of why I would want him later in there, because it's Donkey Kong Country that we think of, not the arcade,
right,
as the true franchise.
So that totally makes sense, but then we're left with, again, I'm sorry, I can't pick Kirby.
He's not a pillar. He's a B franchise. He's a B franchise.
Just for clarity's sake, Kirby is the eighth most profitable Nintendo franchise. That's above Metroid and Yoshi.
Top four, Tim.
You want to go there, Patrick? You want to go there? You know who the last spot is then?
I knew that Pikachu would be on that. I was going to say Pikachu is clearly, except that there's the whole Game Freak and Pokemon Company thing, so I'm not sure. And Kirby is HAL Laboratory, so I'm not sure that belongs. I know they're Nintendo properties, sort of, like they are, kind of, because Nintendo has a majority share, but...
Nintendo's official sales data, and it's Nintendo properties, and Pokemon's always included. It is a weird relationship, but it is considered a Nintendo series. I know it is developed by someone else and it's just published by Nintendo, but I'm not advocating Pikachu Kirby necessarily.
Kirby is a vice president. I'm sorry. He's never going to be president.
He also aesthetically, like, it would be awkward.
Yeah. Yoshi definitely vice president material. Maybe like Secretary of State.
Even though he's with fewer games, I'm pretty sure Yoshi's type as a character is more profitable than Metroid.
It's already bringing money into politics.
I'm just pointing out the things that need to be pointed out. We're talking about the biggest characters. Yoshi moves more money, man.
Well, sometimes these characters also get more games. When you think about Metroid, how many Metroid games are there versus how many Kirby games are there? Metroid could probably get a lot more money if they were pumping out Metroid games, but they don't. Like, they take 10 years in between Metroid games. They have a Yoshi or a Kirby game. Kirby comes out, like, every year. And Pokemon, same thing. So it's like, I don't know.
We can't forget Kirby. Forget Kirby. Forget Star Fox. Forget Captain Falco. Forget all those guys.
These are, but like, senators. They're never going beyond Congress.
Here's the thing. So I would argue Pikachu over Samus to some extent, but Luigi, like, the original game is called Super Mario Brothers. Like, he is a title character in that game. It just so happens that when you kickstart the game, the first character you can choose is Mario, but Luigi's still there. And Luigi has the Luigi's Mansion franchise as well. So
he's the Billy Carter of that of that relationship. He's the president's ne'er-do-well brother. That's what he is. What was Clinton's brother's name? I mean, there's always like some goofball brother that's you know, sort of kind of an embarrassment to certain presidents, but you know, we all put up with them.
Okay, but to Tim's point, right? Why do people, like, when it comes to an actual game that convinces someone to buy a system, a console, why do people buy Nintendo consoles based on games? You're looking at Zelda, Mario, Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
But so the thing is, I would love to have Samus over Pikachu, but I could understand the argument for Pikachu over Samus because I would argue that Pikachu is a household name and Samus is not.
Okay, here's my counter argument. I see Pikachu as like Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming president, a foreign-born national.
Oh my gosh.
He may be a citizen. He may now be a citizen. But he still can't be elected president. And that's the way I see Kirby as well, by the way. So I get it. He's a citizen now, and he can be included in the sales charts. But Pikachu is, he can never rise to the rank of president because he wasn't born inside, you know, Nintendo.
That makes no sense. Nintendo's a Japanese company. Nintendo's a Japanese company. The original Super Mario Brothers game is a Japanese game.
If Nintendo were a country, is what he said.
If Nintendo were a country, right. This is the Mount Rushmore of Nintendo, keep in mind. Not, you know, so you know, Rick, that the President of the United States can never be a foreign-born national, right?
No,
did you know that?
Yes, but yes, I do. Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, if Nintendo was a country, then I would argue that Game Freak and Pokemon Company is just a state in that country, just like you have RD1 and RD2 and...
They're second party. It'd be like colonialists, maybe. Maybe you could say that they're like the colonies that Nintendo established or took over. But I don't know that I would necessarily compare them with RD1 and or EAD 1 and 2.
Why don't we just leave it Abraham Lincoln? so I hear the arguments for Samus. She's cool. I would prefer, I'm kind of with Rick. I would prefer Luigi over Samus. And I'm pretty neutral on if it's Luigi or Pikachu. I honestly, like, it could go either way. I can see both arguments.
I'm taking Samus because she's a founding, she's not a father, but she's one of the founding members.
Don't be sexist. She is a founding father if she wants to be.
At one point in time, Metroid was a pillar because they had, you know, Super Metroid was a big game on Super NES. And they were certainly trying to get Metroid on the N64, and it just didn't work, and they had to bump it to GameCube. But she was kind of a pillar at one point in time, and she certainly was a founding pillar. I think she belongs on there for the history's sake.
I don't know. I mean, personally, I would have to choose Luigi.
I almost want to give it to Luigi just because no one ever reps Luigi, and he was there from the beginning.
He's in more games than Samus.
What if we put him up there as the representative of Mario Kart and Super Smash Bros?
Luigi isn't anybody that's relied on, though. The company never had he's not a pillar of Nintendo. He's just simply been there. It's always been Mario carrying the load. You know, he's the Cliff Booth, okay, of that relationship.
Has Metroid ever been a launch title? No. Has Samus ever been part of a launch title? No. Has Luigi? Yes. For the GameCube, Luigi's Mansion. Could you do that with Pikachu and Samus? I don't think so.
Pikachu, absolutely.
If Metroid 4 would have been a Switch launch title, it would have been gangbusters. I know. But Samus, I think, is still a more important pillar than Luigi is. I'm not going to... Pikachu, I'm arguing for other reasons. I understand Pikachu's popularity and influence. I'm saying Luigi doesn't belong on there.
Okay, well, I kind of feel like we're never going to come to an agreement because he wants Pikachu, I want Luigi, and you want Samus.
That's politics, folks.
I don't really care. Well, this is just supposed to be a fun opener and not the entire episode. So we do need to land on someone quick.
Well, we can each give our four.
Yeah. So, I mean, the three is Mario, Donkey Kong, Link.
Link, yeah. I'm going Samus for my fourth. What about you guys?
You know what? No, I'll just solidify this. Patrick, you can win this one. It's Samus. We're going to put a woman up there because... There should be a woman.
Yes.
Player. Well, then why don't we put Zelda? I mean, it's the Legend of Zelda, right? It's
not
the
Legend of Zelda. Zelda's lazy. She has powers and she could help herself, but she never does.
Sheik, anybody?
She got caught in a crystal in that one. Mm-hmm. Just amateur hour. Link didn't get caught in a crystal in that game.
I'm good with Samus, but the thing is, this is what makes the conversation so interesting, because for some reason you Americans decided only four. So every time the topic of Mount Rushmore of whatever, Mount Rushmore of wrestling, Mount Rushmore of Super Bowl quarterbacks, Mount Rushmore of NBA stars, it's always a nightmare because there's only four. You need to add a few faces to the mountain.
It's actually they chose four as representative of the years per term. I made that up right then.
I was going to say, is that true? I've never heard that before. That was pretty good, though, Tim. You should have stuck with that and not said that you were making that up. That was excellent lying. It sounded believable.
It almost sounded real. Yeah. So that is our Mount Rushmore of Nintendo. Let us know your Mount Rushmore. Is it Venusaur, Charizard, Blastoise, and Pikachu? More power to you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about GameStop. You're going to want to hear this one. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N-Express. We're at our main event, a discussion of GameStop, one of the most important retailers in all of video games. I don't think it comes as any news to anyone that GameStop has been struggling for years now. And we kind of wanted to talk about why that is. Rick had an interesting article idea ages ago. He's brought it up on the show a couple of times. But we should get a couple of things out in the open right away. Rick, you are Canadian.
Yeah, so in Montreal, GameStop is called EB Games, but it's the same company.
And it's because they merged way back in the day, and it used to be a store called Electronics Boutique or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's EB Games, yeah. Yeah, we have that in our – it was Electronics Boutique, then turned to EB Games even here until GameStop bought them in Funko Land.
It's like, I don't know if you guys have Future Shop, but we had Future Shop and Best Buy, and it was really the same company, but it was just too problematic for them to change the name. Those stores kept the name Future Shop until they closed down all the locations, but it was the same thing as Best Buy.
So if the name EB Games does come up, we're talking about GameStop here in the States, EB Games in Canada, since I don't think there are any EB Games here in the States any longer, but they've been struggling for a really long time, and recently Polygon did an interesting article about how it's not even fun to go into GameStop anymore. And Rick was like, man, this guy beat me to the punch. And so we wanted to talk about it. Rick, why don't you just kind of share some of your initial thoughts and why you wanted to talk about this?
So it all started because a while back I went to EB Games and I went to go buy a game. I can't remember what game it was. It might have been Sekiro. It might have been Devil May Cry 5. It was early in 2019. And I spoke about this on the show briefly. So I went in to buy the game on a Friday. And I went to the counter and they had plenty of copies available. And the first question that the clerk asked me, he's like, did you pre-order the game? And I'm like, no, I didn't pre-order the game. I just want to buy the game now. And he's like, well, I can't sell it to you. I'm like, what do you mean you can't sell it to me? He's like, well, you have to pre-order the game. And I'm like, that makes no sense. You have plenty of copies there. Are they all reserved? He's like, no, but you have to pre-order the game to buy it here on day one. If not, you have to come back on the weekend. I'm like, that makes no sense. And the thing that makes no sense about it is that in Quebec, in Montreal, there's a law that if they showcase a product in a store, especially on a store shelf, they have to have the product in stock. In other words, it's like, it's not false advertising, but it's sort of like misleading the customer. So like you showcase a product, but you don't actually have it for sale. So you get people to walk into the store, but you can't actually sell them the product because you don't have it in stock. You can't do that. But they do it, and for some reason they get away with it. So it's like, and this is like not the first time it happened to me. It's happened to me like 3 or 4 times. I go in day one, I want to buy a game, Luigi's Mansion, Sekiro, whatever, Devil May Cry, and they refuse to sell it to me. And I'm like, okay, so then I'm just gonna go buy it online, or I'm gonna go across the street to Toys R Us or Best Buy or Walmart, and I'm just gonna buy it there. But the problem is that Here in Montreal, it's really weird because Walmart gets the video games 2 weeks after release. They don't get it on day one. I don't know why. And if I go to Toys R Us, they don't actually sell games from specific companies like Capcom, for example. So I couldn't buy Devil May Cry at Toys R Us because they had some falling out with Capcom, which makes no sense. And then when I went to Best Buy, it was all sold out. So probably because everyone went to Best Buy because they couldn't buy it anywhere else. But the point is, like, that is the first problem, the first major problem I have with the store is that for whatever reason, they try to force customers to pre-order the game. And if not, they won't sell it to you on day one. And so I was speaking to someone who worked at EB Games / GameStop, and he was telling me that what they try to do is they try to find ways to sucker people into pre-ordering games just in case, say, the game gets bad reviews, like WWE 2K20, for example. It was a complete mess when it got released, right? So I'm sure because of all the negative reviews that were released, a lot of people, like myself, like my nephew, et cetera, did not go out and buy the game. And so they have this stupid policy where they try to get you to pre-order a game. You have to put down a deposit, and then you are allowed to buy the game on, like, opening weekend. If not, you have to wait. Tell me that's not, like, the stupidest policy in the world.
That's very bizarre. I've never had that experience. I know that GameStop doesn't get a ton of copies for... I mean, they get their pre-orders in, obviously, and then they also get some other copies. I generally... That's how I get games, is I just walk into GameStop and buy them. I've never had them say no. They can't sell me a game on the day of its release. Like, yeah, I just never had that.
That's a weird thing, because when I ranted about this last year, I got into sort of like a debate with some of the writers at GoombaStomp. And clearly I'm not alone, because this article at Polygon, the writer said, he says that he had the exact same problem. And it's not a problem that happened to him one time. It's a reoccurring problem. And I know it's like this for all of the stores here in Montreal, because it's not like I go to one and only one location. There are several locations, and I've gone to different locations. They won't sell me the game unless I pre-order it. So that's like problem number one. Problem number two is when I do go to the store, it's a complete mess. Like, it's like the clerks don't even care to organize the shelf, to clean it up. Like, you have PS2 games or PS3 games and a PS4 shelf and PS4 games on the Xbox shelf, and then a Nintendo Switch shelf is a complete mess, and you have, like, you're trying to look for Fire Emblem Three Houses. Like, I went to go buy it for my nephew for Christmas, and that I couldn't find it. I'm like, is it sold out? And it was buried under the Luigi's Mansion cases. So it's like, and then you try to get service from these guys, and the problem with the people who work at EB Games, at least here in Montreal, is They're like these young sort of like students, and they are gamers, and they're all like cocky because they think that they have like the coolest job in the world, and everybody wants their job, and that they can treat their customers like shit. And I see them treating their customers like shit all the time. And so they just have the worst customer service.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it's just anecdotal. Obviously, it's only my experience, but I've always found the GameStop near me, the guys are really friendly, guys and girls. They like just chatting you up as you're standing there at the counter. It's always been organized. Like, so their shelves are all done alphabetically, so I've never been able to find a game. You've got your new separated from your used, and everything's all together. They're not in stacks at all. They're lined up. The games that aren't the hot new ones are kind of like lined up like books. But it's all alphabetized, so you can find it really fast. And then there's sort of more of a featured, like the ones that are hot and new and whatever that everybody's buying, they're face out. The covers are face out, so you can see them right off the bat, and also alphabetized. And then they also have another section for things that are upcoming in case you wanted to pre-order it.
See, here's the thing about Montreal is that they have the section for new releases, but they're not actually new releases. It's games that are going to get released next month in March, April, whatever, which, again, goes against the law here in Montreal that you can't showcase those games on the shelf. Because here's what happens every single time, and I do mean every single time I go to EB Games, I see it happen. It never fails. A lady, a man, a kid, whatever, walks into the store, they go to the shelf, they pick up the copy of, say, Animal Crossing. They bring it to the counter, and the guy, and they wait in line. They wait in line for like 20, 30 minutes. They get to the counter, and the guy's like, oh, we don't have this game. It's not out yet. And there's always an argument, which therefore makes the line even longer because you have to listen to these two people argue. And they're like, well, why is it on the shelf if you're not selling it? Because how am I supposed to know? I walk into the store, I want to buy a game for my kid. It's on the shelf. I pick it up. I wait in line for 20 minutes. And now you're telling me that you're not actually selling the game because it only gets released in April?
Is there a sign that says these games are not? Because mine, it's like this big thing, like not released yet, but available.
It's like a fake dummy box.
And it's also
in a section that says like coming soon.
Yeah. And they always put it up high. So you could the display boxes to actually take it off the shelf. You can just see it. I mean, I could probably reach them, but most people can't. I'd have to stand on tiptoe or whatever. But they it's there. It's on display, so you can see it. But they also have a huge sign that says, you know, coming soon.
Yeah, but you know people don't read. Like, you know, how many times have you seen someone push a door instead of pull a door? It's like it says push, but you pull it. Or you see someone walk into a door. Or they, like, I mean, people just don't read. And for, like, the typical consumer, like the average Joe, the mom who just wants to go and buy her kid a game, like, I see it happen all the time, and it's really annoying. There's so many reasons why I hate shopping at EB Games. And, like, again, like, according to you, your clerks are really polite. But did I ever tell you the story about when I bought the Nintendo Switch and what happened to the manager? So the manager that they used to have, who no longer works there, he was so bad. He was one of the rudest people I've ever met in my life. So the day they sell the Nintendo Switch, the launch day for Nintendo Switch, the dude is running around the store on one of those, I don't know what you call it. It's like those things with wheels that like zooms by.
Like a little hoverboard?
It's like a hoverboard. Yes, thank you. That's stupid shit.
Wait, it has wheels though.
No,
wait,
hoverboard is the term for like a Segway without the big post thing, basically.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't have the post.
It's just like a little,
I've seen those.
Sideways skateboard.
Yep, I've seen that.
So basically the guy stands on this board thingy and he's zooming around the store, right? So the dude's on this like hoverboard thing. He's the manager of the store. He's zooming around the store like an idiot. Like he's like a five-year-old kid at Disneyland. And my nephew and I are at the cash. We're buying like $800 worth of like video game merchandise, right? Like console games, controllers, whatever. And he crashes into the shelf.
That was bound to happen, by the way.
Yeah. And like, okay, he goes flying over the counter. Keep in mind, launch day, so the store is packed.
Literally
packed with people. All of the boxes go flying. The entire wall collapses on them. the guy is lying on the floor. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm picturing this. He's lying on the floor. He looks like an idiot. And so what do you think happens? We all laugh. Because how could you not laugh?
Of course.
The guy, first of all, you're so incredibly rude that you deserve to have us laugh at you. But the fact that matters is you're the manager and you're zooming around the store in this hoverboard and you crash. Like, you're an idiot. Like, that's the kind of service I get at EB Games.
He couldn't be bothered to walk that day. In a store, indoors.
Insane. Yeah, it makes no sense.
And it was so the thing is, we couldn't stop laughing, right? And the clerk was so pissed off at us. He was so angry because we're laughing at his manager when flying across the store. And I'm like, okay, look, if the guy was actually severely injured, I would clearly not be laughing. But, you know, he got up. He was really embarrassed, but he was, you know, physically okay. And I could not help but laugh. But it's such a mess. And it makes me want to just buy games online and or buy digital copies. Like, I'm at the point now, but we talked about this so many times on the show, and I don't want to get into that conversation, but physical versus digital. And I recently, over the past 6 months, I've actually been buying games digitally, like, which sucks because I got Fire Emblem Three Houses. I got the digital version. It's my favorite game of 2019. I wish I had the physical version, but I don't.
You know, I still go there fairly frequently. I almost went there today, but my baby decided it was time to start yelling, and I was like, okay, we'll just leave. Not even like necessarily angry yelling. She just likes to yell sometimes. And I didn't feel like waving it off. I mean, like, sorry, my baby's just having a good time. So I don't know. I totally get why people don't like it. Sounds like a lot of stores are so much worse than mine. I feel like I have one of the nicest in the immediate area. The one closest to me is really, really big. It's usually really well stocked, and the staff is generally pretty kind and considerate. And I know they have to ask those dumb questions every time you buy anything. Mm-hmm. Like, your rewards membership is up. Do you want to repurchase or whatever? And they have to ask me about that. I know they have to ask me if I want to pre-order anything.
Insurance. They always ask if you want insurance for the Nintendo Switch cartridge. I'm just going to throw it into the ocean accidentally or something.
They're so good about, like, skipping over that stuff, like, really quickly, because they know everyone's going to say no, that I can't really complain. I just wish I feel like the only time I really need to go to a GameStop is when I do want to pre-order some sort of special edition so I can ensure I get that edition of it. And I wish GameStop would do a better job. I can't be the only one, right? Like, you're going to get a special edition, you have to get it at GameStop. It's not like you can just go to your local store, whatever you have, Best Buy nearby you, or like Target. For a lot of those, they just don't carry those. I guess Best Buy would, but... So I have to go to Best Buy for it. But sometimes, you know, something will get announced on a Nintendo Direct or something, and I'll be like, cool, I have no idea when GameStop's going to be aware of this product and when I'll be able to pre-order that specific version of it. And so sometimes it's like a guess and check sort of game where you can look on their website and see if they have any mentions of it, but that doesn't mean that in the store you're going to be able to pre-order it, because online ordering and in-store ordering are different apparently, which is obnoxious. And I remember when they announced the Switch, I was just kind of like, I don't want to order it online, I want to go get it in store. And it was pretty competitive around here to get one. But I remember I just like banked on being able to pre-order one in store. And I just like, I was lucky that I could, even though their website didn't say anything about it. But a lot of times I'll go in there and be like, hey, Nintendo just announced this thing. Can I pre-order it? I remember I pre-ordered Splatoon 2, but I couldn't pre-order the Splatoon 2 Pro Controller initially. And I had to pre-order that later. It's like, for a lot of these more collectible things, I wish GameStop was better about being like, hey, we know it's a thing. You'll be able to pre-order it on this day. But a lot of that's super vague. And I find that kind of irksome. I feel like for a specialty retailer, they don't do a great job of kind of embracing what makes them unique and special. I feel like it really should be about helping gamers get their hands on copies of things because they carry them. And I get that, like, some games, Patrick said this, they just don't get a lot of copies of certain games. So if you want a weird JRPG game, like, you have to pre-order that stuff. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen someone try to, while I was there, or I used to work at GameStop a long time ago, but, like, if you don't pre-order those games, it's like, we got three copies of it. So did you? Are you one of the three people that pre-ordered? No, sorry, better luck next time. And I get that they don't want to have an inventory issue, but at the same time, you would think that they would do a better job of anticipating. I don't know.
I don't believe that. That's what that is why I had the argument on Workplace with our writers over at Goomba Stomp, because they were saying, oh, it's because they don't want to order too many copies that they can't sell. But it's not true, because if you go back the next day or a day, or like if you go there Friday and like you return back Saturday or Sunday, they have the games. They have them in stock. They're not gonna request a shipment and get it the next day.
Some of those, they are pre-ordered, but people don't pick up always. And your pre-order is held for 48 hours or something like that. Maybe it's only 24, but you're only guaranteed your game for a certain amount of time, and then it's open to the public. So I've definitely gone and been at a GameStop and been like, hey, do you have any spare copies of this? They're like, I know it looks like we do, but these are technically on hold for these however many more hours. And then after that period,
I know, I've heard this rebuttal so many times, and I'm telling you, it's not true. The guy I know who worked at EB Games, he said, no, they have plenty of stock in the back. They just have this stupid policy. That's the thing. Like, it's, I don't believe them, because from what I've been told and from what I've seen, this is actually not true. Yes, they want you to pre-order so they have some sort of, like, idea of how many copies they should order so they don't order too many. But they still order extra copies, because after you come in, after all those people come in day one and pick up their pre-orders, they still need the game to be put on the shelf for the next day, Saturday and or Sunday. So they have those copies already in the back stock room. It's not true. And that's my major problem with EB Games. That's my number one problem. And then the customer service. But the customer service thing is, that's something else.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, it's easy to have I understand why anybody doesn't like GameStop, especially there's business practices things going on there. And I think there's valid complaints against them as a business in general, and the way that they run their business and, you know, how they treat their employees and things like that. I've just never had any issues with them, really. I have been told that they get very few copies, even of the large games, like even, you know, the latest Kirby game or Luigi's Mansion, that my local GameStop might only get 3 or 4 extra copies outside the pre-orders. And that's about it. Now, I'm sure they can get them. They can restock pretty quickly. And they may very well have them in the back. And they may very well have lied to me about that. And yet, at the same time, I've never had an issue going in and just picking up a game. I don't generally pre-order. A lot of time for me, you know, things like, you know, Fire Emblem or Astral Chain or all these games, I sort of, one day I decide, okay, I'm going to go buy this game today. And so, well, most of the time it is on release, but I haven't talked myself into it until the game actually releases, so I don't pre-order them. I rarely have pre-ordered anything. I think the last time I pre-ordered something was Let's Go Pikachu, because I wanted to get the Pokeball 2 controller. That was the last time I pre-ordered a game. But otherwise, I just walk in and I buy them, and they always seem to have at least one in stock for me.
My question to you is there like a lot of competition, or is it just that one specific store and you can't really go anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean, there's Best Buy and there's Target around, so there's other places to get games if you had to. That is the best place to get games. I'll give them that. I wouldn't call Target big competition, though. I mean, yeah, you can buy a lot of the mainstream games there, but you're not going to have nearly the selection, of course, at a Target that you are at a GameStop. And same with Best Buy. I mean, Best Buy is going to sell all the games that are selling really well, and they might have a lot of the others as well, but they're not going to have everything that GameStop has. I don't know. There's not another GameStop around for a little ways. I mean, they're kind of spread out over the Twin Cities. It's a spread out city in general. But yeah, again, it's purely anecdotal, though. I can't debate anything of what you're saying, and I completely understand all the complaints against GameStop, EB Games kind of thing. My own experience has been fine, but I could also just be lucky. Like Tim, you think you're lucky to have one of the good ones as well.
Well, it's funny because I actually had one of the best in the nation. It was known as like this GameStop by which all other GameStops in the wider like Pacific Northwest were measured to, and it was known as like the best stock, and the mall that it was in like way jacked up the price of rent, and so GameStop couldn't afford to be there anymore, and so that GameStop is gone, and it was kind of shocking. And like one of the other ones near me slowly like took all their stuff and kind of became that, and it was always one of the bigger stores, but now it's kind of morphed into that, and so everyone when they pre-order seems to go to that one. Because I also have the benefit of living in Seattle, and that means that everything gets released at 9 o'clock, so it matches the East Coast release time. So, you know, you go to GameStop at 9, and everyone's getting their games, and they've really figured out that process and cleaned that up a lot. In those instances, I don't know. I don't mind it so much. I feel like I've got a pretty good situation going for me, but I do hope that they can figure out how to better operate for their customers, because I do not want to see them go under, because there just aren't comparable services anywhere else. This is like the only real major retailer.
I used to like going to, for example, the video stores, because you would talk to the clerks, get to know them. They would recommend movies. They would get to know you. You would talk about movies. It's like networking. It's like being social. It's like getting out of the house and just, you know, it was like special. There was something special about video stores, which I really, really miss. I don't have similar service from going to EB Games. Like if I went to EB Games and the guys that work there or the girls that work there are really cool and really chill, and they had like an actual conversation with me about whatever game I'm buying, instead of being all snarky and thinking I know everything about video games, like, which is the attitude they give people. Yeah. Like the bad customer service, it's just like, why would I travel like 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes to your store, line up for 20 minutes to buy a game and get crappy customer service when I can go on the internet, order the game, it gets shipped to me the night before the game gets released at my door, and I don't have to deal with customer service.
I'm a window shopper. That's why I go there. And like I said, they've always been pretty nice to me. They chat up. They don't ever act like, you know, I'm an idiot for liking what I like. I'm pretty honest about why I like certain things. You know, when I came in and traded back in Astral Chain, and they all thought it was an amazing game, and I thought it sucked. Everybody was super cool. Nobody was raining down on me. And when I said that I wanted to play the new Pokemon because I just wanted a nice, easy RPG, you know, instead of playing, I was asking them, like, what game to get. You know, should I get Black Flag? Or they were telling me how great it is, but super involved. And I just thought, I don't want that. I just want something that's brainless that I can sit back and relax and enjoy. Like, I've never had them show any exhibit any judgment.
Oh my God. I wish we would have that. We don't, unfortunately. The guy tells me Sekiro's a hard game. Like, no shit.
Yeah, so I really do hope that your situation improves. Someone needs to get those people in line. But I'm glad that they do exist. I hope that everything works out and they can figure their stuff out, because things aren't going so swimmingly. Maybe if you guys would just, I don't know, sell us games and not worry about the rest, then everything would be peachy. But why don't we go ahead and end that discussion? We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get caught up on all of the DLC news and some other stuff, so don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N Express. We're at our final discussion, a discussion about all the DLC that's coming out, some for Three Houses, some for Pokemon Sword and Shield, and that final character on the Fighter Pass, and more characters to come for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Where do you guys want to start? Cuphead in Smash, but not in Smash?
Exactly. It's great, and it's disappointing, because Cuphead, for me, should have been one of the additional characters. And I'm really surprised, because it feels like, maybe I'm wrong because I'm not a game designer, but I would assume that a character like Cuphead would be easy to sort of like include in a game like Super Smash, because visually, like, it, I don't know, like, it just seems like it would work beautifully, like, especially like, I mean, you've seen the stages and the music, like, I mean, just the soundtrack alone, like, I know we're getting Cuphead in the game, but it's not the same. And it's weird, because they included Terry, and nobody really knows who this character is, and no one really cared. And it's fine, like, it's part of, like, video game history. But then they give us, like, Cuphead, but not really. It's like, it was the most disappointing thing for me when it came to, like, any sort of, like, Smash Brothers announcement. Like, it's great, but yet it's, like, bittersweet. Like, it's great, and yet it's, like, it's upsetting.
It's like when they gave us Shovel Knight as an assist trophy. I personally, like, I like Shovel Knight, but I wasn't that disheartened by it. But I know a lot of people were like, oh, cool, so I'm not going to get that character ever. And I almost feel like some representation is almost worse than no representation.
Well, Isabelle eventually became a character in a game, so you never know.
But she wasn't an assist trophy beforehand, was she?
She was in the game. I believe so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, remember that. So I didn't remember her being in the game at all.
That is why there's like hope for a Waluigi, because Waluigi's in the game, but he's not a character. He's not an actual playable character. But because they made Isabelle a playable character, there's still hope for Waluigi.
And of course, they could patch out the assist trophy and just make him a character. Like the way video games work now, it's not like anything is ever final.
That said, I'm also upset at all the people who are upset at the fact that they decided to include an additional Fire Emblem character in Super Smash yet again. I get it, but this is a character from a brand new game, a game that they are still trying to promote, Fire Emblem Three Houses, the main character, the main protagonist that you play with. And the thing about Fire Emblem, unlike a lot of the other video game series like Mario or Donkey Kong or Metroid, almost every single installment, if not every single installment, has a brand new cast of characters. So you can't just ignore the fact that this game has, what, Patrick, 52, 65, 85 new amazing characters?
It's a lot of people.
But can I counter you on two fronts really, really quick? So just to begin, like, I think it's more disappointing when they set a precedent that all of these characters that are featured are from classic titles or as representatives, first-time representatives of long-standing franchises. Like, Joker isn't that old of a character, but he's a stand-in for all of Persona as the most current protagonist. So I get why he's there. But all these other characters that are included, Banjo-Kazooie, like, classic, classic character. Terry, classic character. So they kind of set this precedent that it was unexpected titles finally represented in Smash through classic characters, and then it was just, nope, another Nintendo title and the most current character. My second point is that it's another blue-haired swordsman. So, like, having heard that Three Houses has an enormous cast, and hearing you guys say, like, oh, this guy's the best character, oh, this guy's so cool, and they chose the borderline voiceless protagonist with no personality, it's just lame. I don't like it one bit.
Well, I mean, look, when it comes to Fire Emblem Three Houses, like, there's 20 characters I would choose over Byleth. Like, hands down, Claude would be my number one pick. It's kind of disappointing. Like, I would have preferred if they had just chosen the three leaders of the three houses, which is Edelgard, Dimitri, and Claude, but that's three additional characters. But the thing is, they also did announce that they're going to be making six more characters in the next year for Super Smash. So for the people who aren't interested in playing with swordsmen or Fire Emblem characters, you are still going to get six new characters over the next like 12 months.
But at this point, fans have so little faith in Sakurai to pick good characters that they want to see represented that it's, I've seen so many jokes of like, oh, hey, look, the list leaked of the DLC characters, and it's just all Fire Emblem characters because it's just overrepresented at this point. I talked about this on Game Boys ad nauseum, so if you want to hear me talk more about that, listen to Game Boys. But it's way overrepresented. It's 10% of the roster.
I'm not disagreeing. Like, guarantee you're right, but I don't think it's the end of the world because we know we're going to get six more characters. Like, the thing is, I think they could include more Pokemon characters because those Pokemon are all so unique and different, right? They would all have different movesets and but I get what you're saying. I think the thing is that they're trying to promote the new game.
And I get promoting the new game, but there are other ways to do that than a character. They could be like, oh, here's a music and stage, like a music pack and a stage. It doesn't have to be, oh, here's the new character. You've been waiting months to find out who it is. Because I didn't make it through this presentation. I was probably 3 minutes in and I stopped watching. I lost interest. And that's never, ever happened with Smash Bros. Like, those presentations are so great. I like the information they give. And I especially love the character introduction trailers. They're so good. I didn't even make it through that. I lost interest because I was like, oh, cool. There's a character that I don't recognize that seems more interesting in the trailer alone, and she's not the playable character. You chose blue-haired swordsman. I don't need Marth 8.0. Like, we've got Marth in the game. I don't know.
I get it, but he did warn everyone. He's like, even if it's not the character that you're going to want, keep in mind we're going to be making six more characters. And the thing is, at the end of the day, it's his game. Like, he's the mastermind behind the game. If he wants to include this one character, I mean, the guy just gave us Banjo. He gave us the Dragon Quest dude. That's a
terrible way to make games. Like, if you were talking about a film director who wanted to make the movie he wanted to watch, that's why we have so many visionary film directors. Games are made for the players. The players are more integral. And so the director saying, I like Fire Emblem a lot, is bullcrap.
But you know what's bullcrap is everyone who's complaining hasn't played Fire Emblem Three Houses. Like, I was on YouTube watching my basketball shows. You know, sometimes YouTube will just switch to another video when the video ends. So it switched to the kind of funny cast. They were doing like live reactions. They're like 3 or 4 minutes into the video and they still haven't realized it's Byleth from Fire Emblem Three Houses. And I'm like, oh, okay, if you didn't realize that within the first second, it's because you haven't played the game. So all of these people who haven't played Three Houses are upset because the character of the game that they did not play is in Super Smash. That is bullshit. Like, just because you haven't played the game, like, whatever, like, you know what I mean? Like, for people who are fans of Three Houses, they're ecstatic. And so you can't just base it on your taste. Like, he put a character in the game that it comes from a very successful franchise that's part of a game that's it's a huge success.
Big, I think hit. Big hit.
The biggest selling Fire Emblem game, I think, if not the second biggest Fire Emblem game. So to me, I don't see a problem with it. It's okay for you to say I would prefer, but for someone to be angry over it, you're just wrong.
So here's the thing, Tim, like, as someone who doesn't play Smash, but like, I don't care about the other Fire Emblem people, but I would definitely pick Byleth. Like, I would just want to relive some Fire Emblem stuff. You play as Byleth for so many hours. I've played as Byleth for 200 hours in that game. And I'm going to be playing as him for some more hours. And if I was playing Smash right now, I'd be excited that I'd get to play as Byleth in another game. Like, he, as a character, he doesn't have personality, but he's my avatar, right? So there is a connection there. It's kind of like Link. Link doesn't have much of a personality, but there's a connection with Byleth. They make fun of the fact that he has no personality game. It's not like that's never addressed or, you know, weird that he's the mostly silent protagonist. And you do make responses to people, so you can sort of pick your Byleth's personality to a certain extent because they offer you jokey responses or just straight up, you know, straight arrow responses. But yeah, I don't know. Like, to me, I would pick him, especially over the Fire Emblems that I haven't played. So I would definitely, he would certainly rise to the top of my choices.
And part of the issue, we talked a little bit about this on Game Boys. Part of the issue is that they've already oversaturated Smash with Fire Emblem characters. So now that they have the best Fire Emblem game in ages in Three Houses, I think it's universally considered at this point the best Fire Emblem game.
Well, you always have your old school Fire Emblem guys.
Oh yeah, but they can. But
it's
they can,
generally considered a better game than Fates. I don't know that anybody has said it's worse than the last group, but he kind of agrees it's a step in the right direction.
Exactly, and maybe that's just because like people were so like Fates wasn't that great. It was a lesser Awakening. So, but they had already oversaturated Smash with Awakening characters. So. Part of me is like, yeah, I can get you being a Fire Emblem fan and wanting to play with this character, but then they shouldn't have put so many Awakening characters in the game already, because now it had the adverse effect for me. As someone who hasn't played the game yet and was planning to this year, I was kind of joking when I said this on Workplace, but the more time that passes, his inclusion in this game is making me not want to play Three Houses, because I'm like, screw it. Like,
fight.
Yeah,
that like, is just forced, silly. That is just silly.
This dumb character onto my. I already purchased this character pack. It should have been someone cool, and instead it's another Fire Emblem character, which is just not only straight up a meme at this point, it's like they're making this game into a joke.
I just want to know how many Pokemon characters are in Smash?
8. Exact same number.
As what? The 8 generations?
It's not actually an even representation of the 8 generations. There's more of the original because the characters from back in the day, Jigglypuff, Pikachu. But
well, don't you think for sure there's going to be number 9 coming in the next 6 that they're going to have somebody from Sword and Shield? And the thing
no,
is, like,
not
you say
necessarily.
That Byleth isn't cool, but he kind of is. But you haven't played the game. That's the thing.
Exactly.
So for you, he's not cool. But think about that for somebody who hasn't played Terry. You know, like, they don't think he's cool. Like, why did you put him in the game? And somebody who knows nothing about Castlevania might be like, who cares about that guy? Or Solid Snake, they may be like, okay, whatever, this dude's weird.
But you have to respect the history. And, like, that's my thing. I don't care. I don't give a crap about Terry. I don't know who he is. But I, as a gamer, have to respect a character's history. I'm not into fighters. If you're into fighters, then maybe you're like, holy crap, I can't believe he's here, and it's really cool for you. I have to respect that history. Byleth is a baby. He has zero history. So to see him in a lineup against a bunch of characters that are all over 10 years old, or except for Joker, it's just disappointing, is all I'm saying.
Like, there have been other characters that you... Like, Isabelle's kind of a weak character. I mean, come on. Like, what is she representative? The villager represents Animal Crossing. Like, Isabelle, there are other characters like that, so it's not like this is the first time that they've done that. It's such a loaded roster, like, you're going to start running out of people.
But Animal Crossing is now becoming one of their pillars. It's one of their best-selling franchises, and there's far fewer titles. So they wanted a little bit more representation. Fire Emblem has that representation. It needs less. They need to say, okay, here's the next update. We took out 3 Fire Emblem characters. And I'd be like, thanks. I appreciate it.
You see, but here, I disagree, because the thing is like, I think the way they're rolling out the characters, they're trying to promote the games on Switch. And 3 Houses is out on Switch right now. The DLC is coming out. It's the perfect time to announce this character for Smash and also announce the DLC and what you're going to get. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to be... for sure adding a Pokemon character and an Animal Crossing character, maybe Tom Nook, maybe KK Slider, and they're going to do it when those games are actually out on the Switch, because the thing is, you can't buy most of the Fire Emblem games on Nintendo console in North America, and you can only buy one on Switch. So it's like they're trying to make the actual franchise more popular. I mean, the reason why there's so many Awakening characters is because they wanted to showcase and spotlight this game here stateside in North America, and it worked. It boosted the popularity of Fire Emblem. And so, again, what Patrick said, you know, if you were to remove every character that someone didn't want in the game, there would be nobody, because someone didn't want Simon Belmont, someone didn't want Terry, someone didn't want Pikachu.
It would have been funnier if you just said Pokemon. But what you're saying is that me saying that I would prefer someone else in following with the precedent that they set for this game as a celebration of gaming history, you're saying it's cool if Nintendo continues to just commercialize it, if these characters are trailers more than they are characters. I'm not saying that they're not really well-balanced or fun to play, but that's not why I want these characters in the game. know what else just came out on the Switch? Devil May Cry 3. Dante is also a really big figure in gaming history.
Look, so, hands down, like, they're going to add Dante. Come on, just give it time. It's easier for him to add Violet because it's pretty much a clone of a Fire Emblem character.
But why didn't they wait then? That's the thing. Why didn't they wait with Violet? Violet should have been the first character of the second DLC pass. If it was like, oh yeah, here's the free character, like Piranha Plant, the surprise one, then it would have been no harm, no foul. That's the thing.
It's because it's of the announcement. It coincides with the announcement of the DLC for Fire Emblem. It's a promotional tool. And again, like, not every character.
Why isn't it already the sort of, like, Sword and Shield? I don't know this
because
for a fact.
When the DLC for Pokemon comes out, guess when, like, they're going to announce the new Pokemon Smash character.
When does this DLC come out for Three Houses?
In February 12th.
Okay, so it does. Okay, so that does coincide. I can see that.
The last thing I'm going to say, and I'll let you guys take over, is at the end of the day, marketing is so important. You can make the best movie, the best video game, the best TV show, and if it isn't properly marketed, if you don't do what you got to do, the marketing team, to market that game, it's never going to be a success. So they have to factor in the marketing team and how they're going to market these games and the DLC and whatever's coming in the future. And that could include Dante, it could include KK Slider or Tom Nook or a Pokemon character, because you can't see a year. You don't know what their roadmap is for Nintendo over the next 6 months or a year. They know their roadmap. So you can't just start complaining about this character when knowing you're going to get six more because he was the first release. You don't know the roadmap. This is perhaps the best decision that they made to release him first, because it just makes more sense based on the roadmap.
Maybe you're right, Rick. Maybe you are. But you're also saying it's okay for them to use him as a commercial opportunity to sell another game. And guess
what? Of course it is. It's a business.
Dude, it's a freaking already existent video game that's in our hands. Like, why?
I love it when you gamers, like, all of a sudden, like, treat, like, video games like it's the Mona Lisa.
Who are you calling you gamers?
This is a business. You gamers, gamers, I'm included in this.
But
it's
Rick, I already bought the stupid-ass pass.
Yeah,
it's
your
fault.
Here's the issue. I do think DLC, like, now Nintendo, I believe, did warn everybody not to buy it unless you were sure that you were going to like it. But I think you should always wait to see who the DLC people are before you buy them, if you're really concerned about stuff like that. But to me, I view this in the same lines as them putting Incineroar in. Like, he's not history of Pokemon or anything.
But,
like,
but Patrick, counter argument: Incineroar was integral to the video game championship. He was one of the most used Pokemon in the competitive scene. He was one of the most popular Pokemon on the anime, so there's extra representation there. And he was a popular starter for the Pokemon franchise. So it's like, Byleth is in a game. Incineroar is part of an enormous property and has a ton of representation and is more popular as a character as a consequence. That's where I'm like, okay, Incineroar is new. He's not that classic a character, but he's a fan favorite. People are going to like him. People are attached to him. I just don't think that you're looking at like a really tasty apple versus a nasty ass grapefruit.
I would take Byleth over Incineroar.
He's boring,
as my starter. Incineroar was my starter in Sun and Moon. I would, in a heartbeat, choose Byleth over him, but because I have way more of a connection to Byleth. But that's all personal preference. This is all personal preference.
Exactly. If Patrick and I are happy that Byleth's included in Super Smash game, then that's good enough for me. Look, it's not about people being upset because they took away something from the community. They took away an option or a character. No, they added something. You don't have to play with the character.
It's the prepay thing. And I get Tim's point of view. You feel like you got burned because you actually put real money down on this. And obviously,
Fire Emblem's the right name for that right there, because it was a huge burn on the entire community. It's a sick joke.
And it's not a burn on the community. What it is, though, is a warning about DLC. Like, even with Three Houses, I did not buy the DLC ahead of time until I found out what the very last pack was. Now, I love that game. I could have easily just dropped it months ago, $25 months ago, and be like, more Fire Emblem. Of course I'm going to do that. But I didn't. I wanted to wait and see what they were actually doing. So I waited months. And then finally, when they revealed it, I was like, okay, that seems worth it to me. I'm going to buy this now. I strongly advise everybody else to operate the same way. But if you're going to drop money down, just know you risk being burned if you don't, if you're paying for something that you don't know what you're getting quite yet.
Tim, can I ask you a question? Would you put down money to go see a concert and not know who's going to perform? So maybe you want to see the Rolling Stones and you get there and it's a garage band and you paid like $80 for your seat. Would you do that? Would you pay for something when you don't know what you're going to get in advance?
Not necessarily.
The answer is yes, because you just did it. You bought DLC, don't know who the characters are, and now you're complaining like someone put a gun to your head and forced you to buy DLC.
No, Rick. You're misunderstanding my disappointment. You're misunderstanding me entirely. My issue is that Sakurai chose the most boring possible choice he could have.
That's personal preference, though.
Yeah, his personal preference sucks. No, yeah. That's all I'm saying. You're right. It is personal preference.
Like, I like the choice. But I've played Fire Emblem, and I have established a connection with that character, so I like the choice because it's
a character that means something to me. You don't think that there was precedent and that they were doing better before, though. I just feel like...
I think it was easier for them to choose class characters before, but now with Ultimate, it's like every single character has been picked.
Why didn't they finish strong, then? Why did they not say, here's another class
character? They're not done, though. They're not done.
Can you give us an example of someone you would choose? Can you give us an example of someone who would you choose to replace Violet? Like, even if Violet came...
Dante. Right away. Easiest choice ever made.
Third party.
Do you know if they have the rights, if they've actually sealed the deal with Capcom? Can they actually do it? Is it ready to be done? Does Capcom want it? You don't know.
We can't go willy nilly with third party type.
They're already ready with Mega Man in there. Why not Dante?
He's on the Switch.
You still have to get their approval. Exactly, Patrick, because you can't. You don't know what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah. We can't say it's so easy for them to add any character in the video game, in all of video game universes. We just can't say that. The only ones we know for sure that they can add with ease are Nintendo characters.
Okay, but then pick a different, unprecedented classic character.
If it was
Agahim from A Link to the Past. Like, super unexpected, super curveball, but cool representation for a series that has a bunch of links in it.
Like, yeah, that would be amazing.
Exactly.
I would still pick Violet.
For me, it's less about that I actually got burnt, because the character's going to play great. He's going to be fun to use, and eventually I will buy Three Houses. I'm just saying, like, they set this precedent, and I feel like they were doing great with this pass, even if some of the characters weren't to my taste. Weren't to my preference. I don't give a crap about Terry. I can respect that he's there. And so this DLC pass has been excellent representation of video game history. And then the final bite, it's just like, oh, and the game that came out yesterday. And I'm like, really?
The game came out last year, which, by the way, is in the past, which therefore is part of history.
But it's not classic. It's not a classic. You can argue, Patrick, it's an instant classic. But like, no.
It's a modern classic. It's a masterpiece.
It is a modern classic, I would say. It was our game of the year, after all.
They could have finished strong and then brought Byleth in a second DLC pass that was more loose and liberal.
But that's your opinion. I think they finished strong. We get stages. We get music from the game. We get a character from the game. For me, that's strong.
And the stage looks really awesome. I think we are running around in circles here, though. There's other DLC that we can talk about. Fire Emblem DLC.
I'm not that mad about it. It's just lame, in my opinion. I get it. But that isn't to say that the Fire Emblem DLC isn't going to be cool and worth picking up for people that have bought into Fire Emblem Three Houses. Are you guys excited about this?
Yeah, I know a lot of people were confused, like, whether it was just getting new characters or something, or whether it was the actual side story that they promised. It, according to Nintendo's own website, like, if you look up Fire Emblem DLC and you go to their DLC, website for Three Houses, it's a new story. So it's a side story that's completely separate from the main campaign. You have new locations beneath the monastery, and you've got this new secret fourth house, which I think is kind of stupid, but the characters might be great.
Patrick, welcome to Pokemon Rules.
yeah, the characters might be great. I'm like, okay, I don't know about the fourth house thing. I would have actually rather they gone to one of the other lands that they talk about, because there's all these other lands outside Fodland, your where the game takes place. But they reference, you know, these. There's an island where Bridget comes from, or Bridget is the name of the island. And there's Dagda. Petra comes from there, yeah. Dagda, and you know, there's lots of different places that they could have gone with this. And Elmira, where Claude is from. Anyway, they decided to go blow the monastery for some reason. I understand it's probably easier to integrate it that way, but I think it's cool. Plus, you're going to be able to recruit all these people. So what I've done is I've now held off, because I was going to be playing the Black Eagle route, but I was going to do the shorter version, the alternate version. I'm now holding off on that because until the DLC comes out, because I want to just play all the way through that storyline, but also integrate the DLC side story into it. So I'm totally excited. It made me stop playing Fire Emblem Three Houses. That's how excited I am.
Okay, but here's where I'm confused, right? So when you do meet these new characters, isn't it sort of like a side story? So those characters would never actually appear in the main game, say if I want to go back and play the Black Eagles or the Blue Lions?
No, so even on their website, I'm going to read you the bullet points here.
It says, this is really cool.
Play a complete side story that is separate from the main story. Explore a new location, Abyss, beneath the monastery. Meet four new characters from the secret Ashen Wolves house that can be recruited in the main game as you progress in the side story. And then you access quests, activities, new paralogues, which are always cool, new paralogues. I want those. And even new classes in the main story as you progress through the side story.
Yeah, it looks amazing. I mean, I already bought the whole DLC package, and I already started playing it again, you know, you have Anna that I can play with now, and yep. Just like additional weapons and like
Jiritsa, the sauna. You can recruit Jiritsa too. That was a free update for everybody. Only when you're playing the alternate Black Eagles route, though.
Yeah, there's a reason why this game won our Game of the Year for 2019. It is a modern classic. And you know what the best thing they can do moving forward? They could take about 10 more characters and put them in Super Smash Brothers from this game. Yeah,
and you know what? I get to play as Byleth some more. I can't wait to just welcome home Byleth back into the fold. It'll feel just like it's the best, Tim. The best. I honestly, like, the best praise I can give this, like, how excited I am, is it made me stop my run. And because I don't want to, I'll start over again and play fresh, like completely new, so that I can experience the side story completely. Yeah. I can't wait for it. February 12th.
Yeah, it does leave me kind of excited that I'm getting sort of an enhanced version of the game when it does come out, that I get these additional characters out of the gate that you guys didn't even have when you first played, which will be kind of cool. I'm going to confuse myself and not realize who's new and who's old. So that's kind of fun. But that's not the only game that has DLC. And just a couple of days before this announcement, Pokemon Sword and Shield got their expansion pass announced, and this also looks really, really cool and is totally new for Pokemon. Normally we get a third title or sequel titles in a generation, and instead they're going a traditional DLC route, and I'm really excited about it. Did you guys watch this at all, or are you?
I did. I watched it. Yeah, I just wanted to see, because I did play a little bit of, you know, of Sword and Shield. And it looks like they're adding quite a bit. This is the end game that everybody keeps complaining that Sword and Shield didn't have, right? This is kind of the proper end game, I guess. And that's what I keep hearing anyway from the whiners.
From the whiners. But from my understanding, like, the difference between this is that you don't have to go and buy a third game and restart the whole entire journey from start to finish. Like,
they're replacing the Ultra, or not the Ultra version. What do they call them, Tim? The second versions of games.
Yeah,
it's the Ultra version, right? Because there's
some save your progress.
Some call them Ultimate or Complete versions or something like that. But yeah, the third entry.
And I think, like, there was a lot of confusion at first whether you had to pay, like, for each one, like, or if the two things had different places to go to. I believe you pay for one, whether you're Sword or Shield. You can pay for the Sword DLC and you get all both the locations. Things.
Yeah,
it's just that there are different characters. There's slightly different characters and different Pokemon between the two. But that was the way with the main game anyway, right? So
the expansion pass itself, which includes part one and part two, both the Crown Tundras, the second part, and the Isle of Armor, the first part, that's $30, at least here in the States, for both of those in one title. So if you have Sword, you $30, you have both those sets as part of the expansion pass.
So you're actually positive on this.
Yes. Yep.
I mean,
that was restated, I believe, by Nintendo, just to clarify. You get both. You get both for the, like, you're not missing out if you don't. The only thing you're missing out on is again, like, there's a character that's different and some and different Pokemon. But that's the way Sword and Shield are anyway. Like, there's different gyms for Sword or for Shield, and there's different Pokemon in Sword than there are in Shield.
And so, you won't be able to go and catch them yourself, but technically all Pokemon being added to the Pokedex are totally free and are available for you to be traded to, or you can even join in people's raids for free without the actual content.
Yeah, so, you don't need the DLC to get the new
Pokemon
from the DLC.
Not,
somebody can trade them to you.
Yeah, exactly. They're not barring you out of any Pokemon, so you have every opportunity to compete or what have you. I honestly think this is really cool. The only downside for me is that that means that I don't get to come up with some wacky way to play the game again, because I love to do that and go through it again. But at least on the Switch, I have multiple profiles. So if I really want to do that, I can. And I do own both Sword and Shield. So
what do you think of the story, Tim, like that they're adding?
I think it seems
the two stories, really.
Yeah, I think it seems really, really cool and really promising. I honestly think it's a really unique, fun way to approach. It seems like a lot of the narrative is coming late in the game, or like more of those mysteries that they set up and then never really fully revealed are gonna come to a close or even just come to fruition. I did an article that you can check out on Goomba Stomp right now where I kind of hyper-analyzed the trailer for things that I don't think a lot of people would pick up on, like how the cover Pokemon of Sword and Shield start a SMYK color pattern that's never actually fulfilled within the title, which, if you don't know what that is, cyan, magenta, yellow, and key, which is black. It's what you use in your printer, that all those colors equal all colors. But the cover Pokemon for Sword and Shield are named for cyan and magenta, which leaves both yellow and key, and there's even some hints at that within the trailer, which is really, really fun. So I'm excited to kind of see how they finish all that up, if they even do. And on top of that, it seems like they're putting a lot of care into continuing our journeys, which is a first. Like, I'm so curious, what if I go in with all level 100 Pokemon? Are they going to challenge me in this at all? Or are there going to be one that can actually fight me, or am I going to just trounce everything? I don't know. It leaves a lot of questions, but it's exciting and new.
What I found interesting is that the world's going to be completely open world. Like, it's not going to be path-based like the majority of Sword and Shield outside the open area or whatever, the wild area. But it was completely, this entire DLC of the worlds are fully 3D open world style things, which gives you probably a glimpse at what an open world Pokemon would be like.
It's really looking like they're testing the waters, isn't it? I feel like the wild area was the initial test. Now they're pushing it further. I wouldn't be surprised if they follow up with this in the ninth generation and try to do a full-on open world. But if they don't want to, I see the value in traditional routes. I felt like the Sword and Shield did a good job balancing that. But this is really cool. I like the idea of a post-game area that is fully open world, for you to just go wildly explore and see what's out there kind of at your own pace. I feel like that's better for a really fleshed out post game. So I think they did this in the right order, and it's really, really cool and exciting. And the other thing that is really worth noting is that you always had to wait at least a year to get the third entry in any title. But because they broke this expansion pass into two separate sets, we're getting the first one in June, so we don't even have to wait a full year. We have to wait a matter of months, and then we get to play more Pokemon, and I think that that's absolutely thrilling. I really think they're doing a good job listening to what fans have always wanted and kind of responding to it.
All right, Tim, my last question. Which of the three starters is going to be the new Smash as a new Smash character?
It's going to be... Okay, so we already have two fire starters, right? In Incineroar and Charizard. So by default, Cinderace would be, again, lame and disappointing.
So who do you want? Sobble or Grunty?
Patrick, Inteleon's got a gun. And I can already see it as his final smash. He hops in his tower, snipes someone out. You know, I think it would be Inteleon if I had to make a guess.
Okay. All right.
You see, like, Fire Emblem fans, they don't complain when Pokemon characters get added to Smash. It's okay.
Because there are hundreds of Pokemon, and they're all unique and have multiple elements and attacks and combinations, and they don't just come at you with the same old weapons and hairstyle.
Actually, no. Okay, sorry. Byleth doesn't have the exact same weapon. She has multiple weapons, and the movements are completely different than the other characters previously. And Fire Emblem, the actual franchise, has just as many characters in the franchise as Pokemon. So, please.
And Byleth has green hair, Tim.
You're right. But those people also aren't magical critters, Rick. Oh, everyone loves magical critters.
You know, this could have been easily resolved if it was just Cuphead.
And that would have been incredibly cool and unexpected.
Oh, wait, so it's okay for Cuphead, a brand new character, to be included in the game, but not Byleth, a brand new character, because apparently Cuphead is more historical because it came out a year ago, but Byleth, which came out a year ago, isn't as historical.
No, because the games are... It's oversaturation. Rick. Hey, I've got... Hey, we have this restaurant. Should we just add more of the same exact recipe that we've been using? Do you want more chicken on our chicken menu? No.
I might want it, depending on what you know. If it was seasoned like Byleth is.
Based on visuals, nothing different. I can't tell the difference. Is that Crom or Byleth? I don't know.
Oh my god, they look so different, Tim. Are you kidding me? You're a Fire Emblemist.
I name drop them, Patrick. Of course I can tell the difference.
They all look alike, don't they, Tim?
I am making a point, Patrick. I picked my hill to die on, and you're going to let me die in peace.
There we go. Could have had Hilda.
You could have had any other character.
She's Fire Emblem.
Yeah, but I'm not going to disagree that Clote should have been put in.
Hey, and that's the thing. It's like, it would have been less disappointing if it was a unique, fun character from the game that would have intrigued me. But instead, they were like, the one that looks like Marth, go. And it's like, cool, we already have 8 of those. It's so stupid. It's dumb, you guys. I need you to acknowledge that if they put another blue-haired sword fighter in this game, the community is going to get up and burn something down.
We got to wrap up, but one quick question. Is there a blue-haired Pokemon?
Yes.
Okay, so they could include the blue-haired Pokemon next time.
It's awful, but yeah, they could. So, I mean, you could argue that.
We got to wrap up, Tim. We're not gonna continue to argue about this.
I'm not even arguing at this point. I've given up on both of you. You lost causes. Thank you both for being here, I guess. Patrick, where can we find you online?
You can find me at goombastomp.com, of course, where you guys all should go. And on Twitter at Sorted Cinema. Yeah, definitely check out. We're going to start some festival coverage pretty soon. Yeah, check us out.
But don't check out Byleth, he's lame. Rick, where can we find you?
At Goomba Stomp, and do check out our movie review show, Sorted Cinema, in which we go back and review some of our favorite cult films, horror films, sci-fi films, you name it, from the past. And on Twitter, I handle the official Twitter account for Goomba Stomp, which is Goomba Stomp, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on social media and listen to the show on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, you name it, and, of course, on the website, GoombaStomp.com.
And I'm Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. I've got another show, Game Boys, all about co-op and multiplayer, where Nintendo, we already did all the hard work. We chose your 6 characters for you. Enjoy. If you want to hear the Game Boys absolutely ridiculous list of 6 characters that should be in Smash, then go listen to the most recent episode. There are some really funny choices that I completely stand by, especially over Byleth. Just kidding. I'm done with that. we'll be back next week with something totally different. So keep it tuned to NXpress. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you out there in Smash.